I want to preach today on this subject, and that is the spirit of unity. The spirit of unity. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So with that verse, I'm going to use that to draw out what the Lord, I believe, wants to say today. And I want to speak on the spirit of unity. Before you see that, I want to give honor one more time to Brother and Sister Carson. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord in Jesus' name. You may be seated. What precious people. Preach this morning in Wabash and then have a desire to come be here in the house of the Lord. Precious. Thank you. Let that be an example to all of us in Jesus' name. Brother Carson spoke on Wednesday. What a profound word. What a wonderful word. I appreciate that scarlet worm. Anybody like me in here, when you seen the title, you thought it was a misprint. Thank you. Thank you. I got about five honest people in here. I said, Lord, they done messed up the title slide. Praise God. Help us, Jesus. What a wonderful word that he spoke. And I thank the Lord for him. He also spoke something prophetically on Wednesday night. He said, "I feel led to share with this church to not allow division to come between us." How many of you remember that? He said that at the outset of his message, he spoke that he didn't know, but I knew what I was preaching on Sunday night. Because wherever there is a mighty move of God, the enemy will try to use division to tear down what God is wanting to build up. From the outset, I want to attack a few spirits that the Lord hates and bind them in the name of the Lord so that they are not named among us at all. And before we move forward, it is important for you to understand that as the pastor of this church, when I bind something in the spirit that is in accordance with God's will, that all of heaven will agree with me. That means when I speak it, and sometimes even when I try to say things and articulate it the best way I can, and someone tries to go against what I am saying, I believe that the Lord will completely cut off your influence, because either the spirit goes or the person has to go. So let's deal with these spirits here. They are found in Proverbs chapter number 6. There are 7, the Bible says, abomination. There are things that he does hate. Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse number 17, the scripture says one of them is a proud look. He says, "I do not want you going around think you better than somebody else. Don't go around here with your nose stuck up in the air and your lips are turned up and you giving people the side eye. You can't even look people straight in their face because you think you're better than other people. Don't let your bank account, don't let your house, don't let the car that you drive fool you, because it's God that gives us everything that we have." He says, "I don't like a proud look." He also says, "I don't like a lying tongue." That's why you need to pray over yourself and touch your hand on your mouth and lay hands upon your children, because God does not like a liar. He says he hates a proud look and he hates a lying tongue. And I'm here to tell you that those two things go together, because the person that is proud, you lying to yourself, because the Lord will exalt you and the Lord will bring you right back down. And that's why we need to understand that this month is Pride Month according to the culture of this world. But I would never celebrate pride, because the Bible says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm telling you, we cannot allow that spirit to come into this church, because as high as God wants to take us, he will take us right down even lower. The Bible also says he hates hands that shed innocent blood. Now, many of you will say, "I'm not a murderer. I haven't killed anybody." But yet you're going around sending text messages. You're going around posting on social media. You're going around sending emails in any other way that you can send out messages attacking your brothers and your sisters. You are shedding innocent blood. You need to stay out of people's business anyway. If you care that much, you ought to get on your knees and pray for somebody. Stop talking about somebody. The Bible says he also hates a heart that devises wicked imagination. That word devises means to plot. That means you are plotting things against your brothers and your sisters. You can't lay down at night without going to sleep, without thinking about how can you get someone back? How can you have revenge? The Bible says that vengeance is mine. You don't need to worry about getting your brother or sister back. You just love the Lord and let God deal with him. You stop letting your flesh dictate what God wants to do, but you need to lay your flesh down and allow the Spirit to lead you and guide you. And some of you ought to, some of you ought to stop looking at me the way you're looking at me right now. Somebody needs to throw up their hands and say, Lord, help me in the Holy Ghost. The Bible even says that he hates feet that be swift to run to mischief. He says, I hate a false witness that speaketh lies. What does that mean, preacher? That means people that go around starting rumors against people, not even knowing the whole story. All you got is a little piece of the story. Now all of a sudden you're running with that story. You don't know what you're doing. You're just spreading things in the church for no reason. Things that don't even need to be spread. This is not a high school. This is the house of the Lord. Stop treating it like a high school and treat it like the house of the Lord. But when I come into his house, I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. I don't need to spread a rumor. If I'm going to spread a rumor, I'm going to tell you, did you know God is good? Did you know God's a healer? Did you know God's a way maker? Did you know God can bring you out? Hallelujah. The Bible says that he hates the seventh thing. He hates those that sow discord among the brethren. He hates that. He cannot stand that. He cannot stand when people are trying to sow discord in the church. When you going around telling people, come hang with me, don't go with them. You telling people you need to watch them, you better look out for them. That is sowing discord within the church. My God. And God said he hates those things. So from the outset, we're going to take care of these seven things that God hates. So what I'm going to do right now, those things are going to come up on the screen. I'm going to bind every one of those spirits right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you go against anything that I bind, God will remove you. You better hope that spirit gets removed before God kicks you out of this place. I'm not trying to remove nobody from the house of God. I'm trying to remove the spirit that is in this place. And I'm telling you, there should not be discord in the house of the Lord. So I'm going to bind it in the name of Jesus. And if you have any of these spirits on you, you ought to lay hands upon yourself and say, Lord, remove that spirit before you remove me. So right now, by the authority of your word and by the power that's in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit, every one of these things that you hate, and I bind it in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, if there's any person, man, woman, boy, and girl that tries to sow discord, remove the spirit or remove them, but we will go higher in the name of Jesus Christ, and nothing will stop the moving of the Holy Ghost. If you're with me, clap your hands unto the Lord. Magnify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we bind the proud look. We bind the lying tongue. We bind those that shed innocent blood. We bind the hearts that plot wickedness. We bind the feet that are running to mischief. We bind false witnesses that speak lies. And we bind every person that tries to sow discord in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to take 60 seconds. You better lay hands on yourself. You better not brush over what I'm saying, because I'm not going to move from this point until we get this right here. You better lay hands on yourself. You see the things on this board. You say, Lord, help me, God. If I've got a lying tongue, remove that spirit. And I've been sowing discord, remove that spirit. Come on, lay hands on yourself and ask God to remove the spirit that he hates. Hallelujah. Now, if you've got victory over it, clap your hands unto the Lord. I said, if you've got victory, clap your hands unto the Lord. Now, don't clap your hands if you don't have no victory. You better lay hands on yourself again. But if you've got victory, don't clap your hands because I told you to clap your hands, but clap your hands because you believe you have victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In the name. Musicians, you can come. Singers, you can stay. I'm almost done with my message. Listen to me now, because people in our city are looking for something that is real and not something that is fake. This is a quote. This is a quote from someone that came to our meet and greet just last Sunday. They said these words, and I quote, "I have been searching for a place and a church. I have been searching for a God, a church that preaches the God that I find in the scriptures. I have been tired of denominational churches and the culture that we have created in our church and in this city. I have been searching for a church where I can see and feel the God of the Bible." And then this is what the lady said. She said, and I quote, "For the first time, I have seen and felt the God of the Bible in this church." She's, my God. I'm telling you, my friend, people are searching for something real, something authentic, something that is tangible. They're done with phony. They're done with fake. They deal with that in the world. Can Star City be a church that is a real church? I ask the question, can Star City be a real church? Because we serve a real God. Because God wants to operate in his house in such a dynamic that people, when they come in here, the moment they hit the door, they feel something that is real. They feel something that is tangible. They feel something that says, I never felt anything like this before in my entire life. But they leave here changed. They leave here with the mind changed. They leave here with the heart changed. They leave here filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands and magnify the name of Jesus. Well, I believe with all my heart that tonight we are about to have one of the greatest spiritual breakthroughs that this church has ever felt before. I don't need this church filled. I just need people that believe with me, because the scripture says one could put 1,000. I just need somebody else to join with me that can put up 10,000. I told this church, I don't need everybody with me. I just need 12. I just need 12 people that will say, Pastor, we're going to be a church that is united. We're going to be a church that is together. We're going to be a church that believes. We're going to be a church that worships. We're going to be a... I don't need everyone, but I need at least 12 of you. I wish I had 12 people that would wave your hand right now and begin to believe God for what he's able to do. I wish I could preach this thing how I feel it. But there are a number of places in scripture where we see unity happening. Did you know the word unity is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible? Now I'm not gonna break all those down, but one place is Psalms 133, the other place is twice in Ephesians chapter number 4. That's the only places that unity is spoke about in the Bible. But there are many places throughout scripture where unity is signified. We know on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound that came from heaven, but that sound did not come until they were in one place, in one accord. They never would have had the sound. They never would have had the miracle. They never would have had the outpouring unless they were in one place, in one accord. We need to understand that if you go back to the Old Testament, you will find some walls known as the Jericho walls. Those walls came tumbling down. Those walls fell down flat, but they never would have came down if the people would not have marched together, if the people didn't shout together. The Bible says they took the city together, and that's what I come to preach, that we're gonna take Lafayette together. Nothing's gonna stop us. Nothing's gonna hinder us. I wish I had a believer in here that was ready to take the city. Come on, take 30 seconds and just magnify the name of Jesus. There's many other places where God speaks about unity that I can go on and on about. We know about the Tower of Babel. The people were one. They didn't even look to do something good. But the Bible says because they're one, that whatever they imagined to do was going to happen. I'm telling you, if you go now to Acts chapter number 4, even if you skip over, I believe in Acts chapter number 12, this is when Herod took Peter because he had killed James. He killed James, and he seen that it pleased the people. So he took Peter, intending to kill him after Easter. But the Bible says that an angel came and said, get up, put your sandals on. We getting out of here. But Peter never would have left that jail cell if the people didn't come together. For the Bible says there was prayer made without ceasing. I wonder if I could get some people in here that will have a made up mind to come together and pray. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for those next to you. Pray, pray, pray. Somebody shout, pray. So this will be a place where the spirit of unity can dwell. I told you, I gave y'all a chance to dance. I'm gonna preach this thing. I'm telling you, this must be a place where the spirit of unity dwells. Hallelujah. Paul said we must endeavoring. That word endeavoring means to make haste. Paul said we need to hurry up and get unity together. Stop playing around and be unified. Stop joking around and be unified. Stop ignoring one another and be unified. Stop talking about one another and be unified. We need to hurry up. And I'm telling you, we are living in the last days. So Star City, we need to hurry up. Stop messing around. Stop talking about people and be unified. Because people are searching for real. And we must be a church that has the real thing. Do I have any believers in here that know that we have the real thing? Real thing. Real thing. Real thing. Can we give a real God a real praise right now? Come on, can we give a real God a real praise? I said, can we give a real God a real praise? I'm still waiting on about five people to move from your row and begin to join us here up front. I'm waiting on about five people to move from your row and come up here up front and come give the real God a real praise, 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 in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands unto the Lord. Let's magnify him together. So stop worrying about what people think about you, and you worship God how you want to worship God. That spirit has been lingering for far too long, and shame on us in the name of Jesus Christ. We are hindering people's worship because we worried about what somebody else go think about me. Shame on us in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let that spirit grab hold of you, but you come up here to the front, you run to the back, you twirl around, you do whatever you need to do in order to magnify the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you, there will be a loosing, there will be a shaking, there will be a tumbling that's happening in the Holy Ghost. Somebody magnify the Lord, 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 magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. I've said this one too many times in this church, and by the help of the Lord, this will be my last time saying it. But I am completely done with cute church. I am absolutely done with it. I'm not saying we got to get ugly. I'm not saying you got to go home every Sunday and your hair's messed up. I'm talking about you ought to come to magnify the Lord how you want to magnify the Lord. Yeah. But we got to get rid of a judgmental spirit. That judgmental spirit has to go. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what clothes you got on. I don't care how fancy your shoes are. I don't care about that. I care about your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody begin to magnify the name that's above every name.